these three little ones have such a privilege in terms of the potential that they have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say to Timothy, you've been given the truth, the scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation. And then he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. From a child, he had that privilege. It's an awesome thing, I think. And many of us, looking back, can recognize a similar gift of privilege in our lives. When I was a boy, Sunday school was in the afternoon. 2:30 on a Sunday afternoon, we all trooped off to Sunday school, all the kids, whilst Mum and Dad had a snooze. After a pretty hefty Sunday lunch, they were ready for this regular Sunday afternoon nap. And we were shipped off to Sunday school, and they had peace. And, of course, in the morning, I was at church, and in the evening, there was a lot of church for a boy. But there was a great grounding in the truth. There was a lot of joy and fun as well. It wasn't all grim and hard pews. Oh, I'm sorry about the pews. I was going to say hard pews, but you just have to put up with the hard pews. So we had that privilege. I remember at school one day, the teacher saying to me, Jennings, he said it in a kind of challenging, irritated way. Jennings, he said, tell me, why is it? Tell me this, why is it? You know so much Bible. Because I was there, you see. Whenever there's a question about the Bible, I had my hand up. This smug little boy who knew all the answers, you see. How is it that you know so much Bible, he said, pointing at me, accusingly. Well, I said, you know, we read it and we hear the Bible stories in Sunday school and we read the Bible. Oh, he said, yes, but nobody can read the Bible right through. It's an impossibility. Nobody has ever read the Bible right through. Now, he was the teacher. He was my teacher. And in those days, teachers were infallible. We used to think that, you know, he came out of the stock cupboard on a morning and dusted off the chalk dust and then imparted to us his wisdom and knowledge. Teachers were infallible in those days because he said it. You can't read the Bible right through, boy. It's impossible. I thought, oh, I didn't realize that. I never knew that. Do you know what? That teacher turned out not to be infallible after all. You can read the Bible right through. And in fact, some Bibles, you can buy a Bible from a Christian bookshop that's split up into sections so that you have a reading for every day and you can read it in 365 days, complete it in the year. But actually, I think what the important thing is not so much to set yourself a task of being determined to read every word of the Bible in a year. I think the important thing is to read it prayerfully with an open heart and listen and receive the truth that is life-changing and transforming. Because he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word there, inspiration, is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. Well, breath is about life, which means that this book is a living book. It's not just a dry document. It's a living book that can touch and change and transform lives and bring us into a vital and living relationship with a loving God. It's a living, living book. All scripture is given by inspiration. Now, when Paul was writing to Timothy and saying that, they had the Old Testament, really. The book that he was, scriptures he was referring to was the Old Testament. But then there was this continuing unfolding revelation, which we now call the New Testament. And in AD 393, at the Council of Hippo, and then a little later on, the Council of Chaldea, was it? Chaldea? I don't know. Somewhere around about that. I may have mispronounced it. But those councils officially recognized the book that was already there, being used and loved and read and valued as scripture. And so when Paul talks about all scripture is given by inspiration of God, this is what he means. These 66 books contained one volume, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for nurture, and for direction. I read a book a little while ago by A.M. Chowell called The Bible in World Evangelism. And he tells a number of stories about the power of the Scripture. He tells one story about a lady who was a ward sister and who felt a real sense. She'd come to a point where she couldn't see any meaning in life, a deep sense of futility. And she waded through books on philosophy, trying to find some meaning, trying to discover some purpose. She didn't turn to the Bible because a friend had said to her, "Don't bother to read the Bible. It's myths and legends. It has nothing to say to us in the 21st century. Don't bother with the Bible." And so she didn't. She respected her friend's opinion and thought, "Well, I won't bother with the Bible then." But one day, someone left a gospel on the ward, the Gospel of John. And she began to read it, almost by default at first, picked it up and began to read it. And she said, It shone and glowed with truth. As I read it, it shone and glowed with truth. And the verse that really got her was John 18:37, where Jesus is standing before Pilate, and Pilate says, "So, you're a king then?" And there's a kind of note of sarcasm in his voice. "So, you're a king, are you?" And Jesus said, "Well, you say that, but this is the reason I was born. This is the reason that I came into the world, to testify of the truth. And everyone who listens to me hears the truth and knows the truth." And she said, "I listened. I heard the truth and I found my Savior. I listened, I heard the truth and I found my Savior." What about you? Have you listened, heard the truth, and found your Savior in Jesus Christ? Because that's the potential and the possibility for every one of us. When we take this book seriously, when we read it prayerfully, when we open our hearts and minds to its truth, we can listen, hear in the deep places of our hearts the truth, and find our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of the world, who comes to be our most special and wonderful companion and Savior, accompanying us on the journey of life. So this is the book. All three of the children, George, Tabitha and Ollie, will receive a nice little parcel at the end of the service. I saw them in the office before I came into the church. And I noticed that there are two that have blue ribbons around them, and there's one that has a pink ribbon around them. Do you know what? I worked out why. You may be able to work it out for yourself. And they will receive that gift of a Bible at the end of the service today. Listen, it's not just something that's a symbol. It is that, but it's more than that. It's something that can be the foundation and guide for their whole lives. It can bring them into a vital, living relationship with God as they listen, hear the truth, and find their Savior. I once spoke to a young man who had a very nice-looking Bible, and I said, "What did you get that for?" I thought it was perhaps for some kind of presentation event. He said, "I got it for £12.50. I like that. It's very practical, isn't it? Wasn't just some presentation thing to gather dust upon the shelf. It was a living book. He got it for £12.50, which was quite a sum of money for him. He wanted a good Bible that he could enjoy, read, and receive from and learn something of God's grace and mercy and love flowing into his own life. And so Paul writes to his spiritual son. He gives him some good advice and reminds him that all Scripture contains the life of God. It is ours by the very breath of God. And it can touch and change and transform us as we hear the truth listen to his voice, and find our Savior. Amen.